Everybody, David here. We are in small town USA today for the gathering. And in small town USA, there are small churches. And if you'll look behind me, you're probably wondering, David, why is the Last Evangelist banner against this church here? Well, this is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what is the salvation of America? What's the salvation of the world? The message God's given me this morning. And why is Last Evangelist in front of this small church? Hey, everybody. So good to be with you. Yes, we are. We're in small town America. It's a big church, kind of, but it's really a small church. We have a congregation here of about, I'd say, maybe 40, 50 people, right? And the reason I have my Kleenex is because of the songs we've been singing. Been singing the old hymns, and they touch my heart. Do they touch your heart? And you notice I've got my I'm kind of dressed up today, and most of you guys don't ever see me much like this. I'm doing it in honor of my father, who went to be with the Lord some 20 some odd years ago. He has said, "Son, when you walk into a church, have a nice shirt, a nice jacket, and a clean handkerchief." This is for you, Dad. I don't have a clean handkerchief, but I have a Kleenex. All right, so good to be with you guys. And I'm so excited about this message this morning for several reasons, which I'm going to explain. And I want you guys to get in chat and tell me what you think about this message as it unfolds, as I believe God has given it to me to give to you. And what is it this morning? We're talking about a message for those who are seeking truth and righteousness. This is a message of hope to those of us who are seeking truth and righteousness, not our way, but God's way. It's a message of hope. But it's a message of hell to those who want to cling to religion and traditions and rituals. And you all can say amen. You can be vocal. Amen. By the way, what denomination? Is this non-denominational? All right. Full gospel. So I'm here today to tell you that this small church is instrumental in bringing Last Evangelist into a movie theater. Are we live now?
Yeah. Yes. I can read this.
One second. All right, I think we're live. She has us live here. So let me know if you guys can see me. Shanita, let me know if we are on live. Okay, awesome. Thank you. We've had some technical difficulties. We're broadcasting here from the church, which I'm speaking at this morning. And if you'll just bear with me, I do believe God. I just dropped the world. Sorry about that. Let's try it again. All right. Let's see here. All right. We are back again.
So then we should turn this off, right? It's that one.
I'll need that.
But I... Okay.
Yeah, it's not on. Okay, folks, if you'll just give me a... Take it out.
Well, I can't really do that. It's... There we go.
Let's try this.
You want to be on that other one that's more stable, right? I'll bring that up.
I think this one's okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right. Excellent. Oh. Let's see if we can get this going. Well, we've had these issues before. All right. Here we go. So what's happened here, just to let you guys know, there's no internet in the church. So we've had to go off a hotspot, and when you go off a hotspot, you run the risk of not it being so hot. It's not as hot. Okay. All right, folks. Here we go. We're going to make it happen. All right. So... Let's see. Sinead, I might need you to help me here, because this isn't really... You want to grab... that one's... We're on right now with... okay. Let's see here. All right.
Looks good on YouTube.
Looks good on YouTube? All right. How's it look on David Hubner TV?
Well,
good?
Huh? One thing at a time.
What's that? All right, here we go. All right, so let's get back to it. All right, so here's the thing, you guys. Now, we're at a small church here in Ohio, and the name of the town is called Newcomers Town, right? Newcomers Town. And I was going to go pre-record a show for you all online, for the family online.
then preach a sermon here at 11, because I didn't think I could do both. But God spoke to me and he said, what are you talking about? That's not at all how I designed this. This is not the reason that you're here. And the reason I'm here is because we have, and if I may say this, we have a woman pastor, Pastor Shannon, who runs a church of about 35 or 40 people, a small church in a small town in America. And yet the small church run by a female pastor calls me and says, I want to put Last Evangelist in a movie theater. And I can't get most churches to even return my phone call. But yet, I can go across America, and I will be accepted into film festivals that are secular, and Last Evangelist wins film festivals. I'm able, yeah, you can say praise God. I'm able to get in front of audiences that don't know God, hold up my award, and say, I want to thank my executive producer in heaven, my Father, God. You see, it's the greatest testimony I could possibly give. So my question is, what's wrong with this picture? You got a small church that wants to put Last Evangelist in a theater, and you got atheist film festivals all over the country wanting to give it awards. But where is the churches in between? So again, he's given me a message for those this morning. If you're interested in truth, if you're hungry for truth, not what you want, not making God the God you want him to be, but the God he is, then this message is for you and it's for hope. You have hope. But if you're interested in hanging on to religion, to tradition, to rituals, to family this and family that when it comes to church, this message is a message of judgment, condemnation, and hell. I don't know any other way to say it. And here's the problem. Here's why we are where we are today, is because preachers don't want to preach anymore. I call them pussycat preachers in the pulpit, preaching to canary congregations. They don't want to tell the truth. Why? Because someone in that row is back there is writing a big fat check. And if they insult them, they will no longer have a job. The greatest preachers that I know do not take paychecks. The greatest preachers I know either don't take paychecks or they don't rely on their preaching as the central avenue of their survival. Why? Because you start leaning more on the comfort of the survival than you do the truth. Now, if you guys don't know me, big churches, I'm not a fan of them. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not a fan of them. I don't like the design. I call them Six Flags Over Jesus, God Marts. I'll give you an example. I don't have a microphone, but we have microphones in here. Pastor Shan, this is nothing toward you, your congregation. Please don't think it is. It's for me to make a point to myself. If I got on a microphone, the people online would not understand what I'm saying because the sound is bouncing all over the room. But then I said to God, if I don't have a microphone, what about the people in the room? They may not hear me. You know what God said to me? He said, then get off of that stage and get closer to the people. You see, I want to talk about how the church was originally constructed. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back right now, though I will in the moment. If you walked into a church in the 1800s and early 1900s, you would not find a PA system. They didn't know what it was. A microphone? What was that? So what did that mean? It forced them to build buildings so the sound could carry and to make them small. But by design, Satan comes in, takes what God created. God created PA systems, microphone. He created all that, but he took and he used it for bad. Yep. That's right. So we're here in small town USA, if you guys are just tuning in. We're in a small church, small congregation, but with a big heart and a big passion and a big mission for God. People ask me, Dave, is there any hope for America? I get that a lot. You ever think about that? Is there any hope for America, for the world? Be honest, I do, and I'm a preacher, evangelist. I mean, we know how the book ends. We know the story, don't we? But then we ask ourselves, is there any hope? If you look around, has it gone too far? There is hope, but not in Washington. Not in Hollywood, not in the mega churches. The hope is in the small churches. This is the message God's given me to give to you. The gathering of God's people in living rooms, sanctuary, small sanctuaries, hotel conference rooms, coffee shops, and yes, even this weekly gathering I have with you all online. God has given me a word to give to you that he's starting all over again, as he did for his original design for the church. See, God's original design wasn't production. It wasn't performance. It was a family of believers on fire with the Holy Spirit in their gut. And Jesus gave us a model. Did you know that Jesus gave us a model for the small church? But you ask people and they'll stumble and they will say, well, yeah, what was it? I know he did because he's Jesus. He had to. But what most people don't realize, and I didn't either until God put it in my brain, is that these so-called Beatitudes, when he got and talked to the hundreds and thousands of people on the hillside, you know who he was talking to? He was talking to his disciples. They were listening in. My first message to the small church is talk among yourselves, encourage each other, love each other, lift up each other. The outside will listen in who's been designed to listen, who's called by God to listen. Jesus never was a fisher of people. He was a fisher of men. But those men were specific. They were designed. He encouraged them. He loved them. He taught them. My message for you this morning and for you out there, my family, we encourage each other. We love each other. We have Underground on David Hebner TV. It's our platform. It's a private platform. I mean, we're on Roku and Amazon. We're on a lot of different, but we can't get taken down on social media. It's the only place we can tell the truth. If you haven't signed up, I encourage you, sign up. Even if you don't know much about the internet, it's easy. You click a button, you're there. You go with us underground. You can come in, you can listen to people talk, their picture comes up, or just voice. Peg's there quite a bit. I know Pastor Shannon, you've been there, and who else is Dana? You've been there, yeah. Join us. Matter of fact, what I'm gonna do today, it's since we've been all over the place with those folks, the Holy Spirit's got control of it, not me. I've dropped the world twice. God forgive me. I'm trying to preach to the world and I'm dropping it. We're gonna stay live. We're gonna go underground. Of course, we disconnect from all of the social media. You have to be a member of David Hebner TV. We're gonna go underground. We're going to stay underground for a couple hours because we're going to have dinner afterwards, right? That's what I like about the old-time churches. We used to have dinner on Sunday after service. Why? Why is that? To eat? No, you can eat at home. It's to fellowship. It's to encourage each other. There's too many people piling in the churches at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock comes, they're out the door, and they don't even talk to anybody. Do you know how many people told me, as marketers, as a guy that does social, you know, I'm on different platforms. They say, David, don't do underground. That's too, it's too much work to it. It's too work intensive. And I say, are you kidding me? That's the only reason I'm doing this, is to connect with people. I don't care about work intensive. I'm not into this to sit back on a hammock. I'm here to work for God, to connect people, to wake people up. So join me if you're not a member of David Hebner TV, and if you're a member of Netflix, oh, you need to disconnect, baby. Listen to Elon Musk. I've been on this bandwagon for 10 years. You want to promote pornography? You want to promote sexual perversion, crimes against you? Keep giving them $15 a month. Because, baby, you're doing it. And then don't come back to me and say, David, I'm having problems financially. I'm having problems with my family. I'm sick all the time. The first thing I'll say, did you disconnect Netflix? Yeah. Folks, we got to stop feeding the beast, and we got to start feeding God's people. I've gotten more love, more support, more encouragement, financial support from this small congregation of people that I've gotten in a year from the bigger churches. Because they don't want the truth. They're not hungry. They've created their own God. That's what Last Evangelist is all about. The religious system has created its own God. They sided with the political system. And I go and I bust these underground Bible studies, these small groups of people. Why? Because the Antichrist doesn't want them to get together, because he doesn't want the truth to be told. Now, let me tell you something else. I don't know if you guys realize this. I'm sure some of you do. God never designed a stage to be in a church. When you walk into a church, these big Six Flags Over Jesus buildings, you're going to see a stage. God never designed that. He does not approve of it, and I'm going to tell you why. Pulpit, yes. A stage, no. There's a difference. Yep. Say, David, what's the difference? I want you to look at this, and I'm going to show you guys, since I can do this now. I'm going to show you something. This right here, I'm going to walk over here. This is the stage right here. You see the height on that stage? It's not a stage, it's a pulpit. Let me tell you why the height is important here. The height is important because you can kneel down and put your elbows on, and you can repent because you can praise God. That's right. It's designed for the brokenhearted. Stages are designed for those who want to perform. I'm not interested in performing anymore. I performed all my life. I performed in music. I performed in movies. And my greatest performance was in church until I woke up one day and realized I was a lukewarm Christian. So I'm not interested in performing. You go into a church, I want you to look at it. If they've got a high stage, and you can't kneel down and get your elbows up on that stage, you should not be there. You need to get out. You need not to support it. Small churches years ago had pulpits. They were designed for those to come forward who were brokenhearted, who needed to repent. Last night, Friday night, we had people repenting and crying and broken right here on these steps. How many people were here last night? Was it amazing or was it not? It was amazing, folks. When I was a boy, 7 years old, I went forward, and it reminded me of this church. It was a small church, kind of like this one. The preacher had preached a sermon, sweat flying everywhere. We used to make fun, me and the other boys, the little boys sitting on the front row, stay away from that preacher, sweat will pop right into your face. You know, he'd have a handkerchief and he'd preach hellfire and brimstone. What he was preaching was the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
They used to preach hell.
Yes. Amen.
They used to preach that hell existed. And if you don't know God, that's where you're going. Do they do it anymore?
No.
I haven't heard it. They're not going to do it on television. You're not going to hear any TV preachers preaching hell. Because if they do, you're not going to send them a check. They're going to tell you everybody's going to heaven. I had a preacher in Atlanta, Georgia. I did music at this church, and it just made me sick. And he said he looked out over Atlanta, Georgia, saw the thousands of cars on the freeway, and said, God, thank you for all these pre-saved people. Yeah, that's what I said. Pre-saved? What in the world is that all about? It's twisted. No, I say, look at all these people living on borrowed time. That if they don't hear the word of God and repent, and that time is not borrowed. When you repent, it becomes into bought time. Because it's bought by the blood of Jesus. Here in small town USA, big passion. So why is it? That's my question. Why are we where we are today? And I want you guys to ask the same question. Shanita, are you on chat? Can you get on chat and just see what, I'd like to have you verbalize the comments that everybody's talking about. We have a whole chat room, folks, that they've got something to say. See, most of the people in my congregation, can I say my congregation? I don't have a better word for it, because then I have to be a preacher, and I don't call myself a preacher. I'm just a
evangelist.
Like, I'm the last evangelist. I'm somebody's last evangelist. I call myself a back alley preacher, because put on the gloves and let's go after a baby, right? But is there any hope for America? Yes, there is. And it's through the small church. He had thousands around him listening to his beatitudes, but how many times were you told that Jesus gathered all these people and they were there to listen to him? He didn't gather all these people. He was speaking to his private flock. They listened in. Do you understand? You guys don't have to go out there and start gathering people and winning souls. This winning souls thing, I know Paul talked about it. That's not what he meant, if you dig deep enough. You can't win anybody's soul. This is not a lottery. Only God. The best we can do is keep our mouth shut and let the Holy Spirit work through us. But we don't need to, as this small congregation, as you guys listening to me online, you don't need to go out and convince anybody. You don't need to go ask permission. You don't need to ask for forgiveness. You don't need to ask for anything. You just need to be the person God wants you to be and walk with the power of God in you. People will know it. They'll feel it. You'll shake the room when you walk in. It's like I said last night, people say to me, David, how do you function in Hollywood? How do you function in Hollywood? You know, all of those demons in the darkness. And I say, well, how does Hollywood function with me going into it? We preached there 2 weeks ago. I said to somebody, we might have an earthquake today because I'm going to preach hell and the demons are going to shake. And I did. And the people there, Shanita, they welcomed it, didn't they? You see, when you tell the truth, you will get the people that are supposed to show up because they're the ones that are hungry. Are you going to open a restaurant and try to go out and get everybody out in the neighborhood who isn't hungry to come and eat at your restaurant? Or are you going to go out and get those who are hungry for what you have to come in and eat? You are not a doormat. You're God's prized possession. This is a pearl. When people walk in here, they need to honor it. Amen. This is a private club. Amen. We don't open it up to everybody, only to those who God calls in. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to be who you think he calls in. Amen. The religious people ain't going to come. Do you know the greatest addiction I've ever dealt with? And I've dealt with a lot of addictions. And demons I've ever dealt with, and I've dealt with a lot of demons, is the demon of religion and the addiction of tradition. We all have it. We're creatures of habit. We want to look, God calls us to do something, and we always want to stop and find our hammock and our martini or whatever, Christian martini, virgin martini, and sit back and do nothing. The problem is, where you are today is a byproduct of people getting out of their comfort zone, wanting to go to the next level. Peg and Pastor Shannon told me this story. I'm going to do a Johnny Thunder tour, and I'm sure I'm not going to do it justice. But they talked about how Shannon's father, Peg's husband, came into this town years ago, and in one day, he was a pastor. God told him to come in to find a church, and he did. In one day, he found a church and a house and a place to live. Amen. And moved them. Is that right?
Amen. And just shocked him.
Yeah. Folks, does that sound like comfort zone to you? If God's calling you to do something, he's going to call you. If he's giving you a vision, he's going to give you a way to do it, the provision. He's not going to call you to do something you can't do. That's an embarrassment to God. God is not going to be embarrassed.
Amen.
And if he calls you, that means you're capable of doing it. Don't look around at somebody else and ask them. So number one is model. For the small groups, speak to your church here. Encourage, lift up. Do not forsake this church and go out and try to evangelize somebody else. Everyone needs to learn. Whoever sees you from a distance will be attracted and come to you. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't go out and try to evangelize people. This is my group, my congregation online. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And I cater to you. I don't go out and try to get other people to come in. I cater to you. God's given me you, and he's given you me. I don't know who got the worst part of the deal. But, and I'm sorry for that. Do you have chat? You want to say a few things?
Yeah, Amy in New York says, hope is for everyone, but not everyone will hear.
Yeah, hope's for everyone, not everyone will hear. Amy says that. Any other good? You can keep the chat. Look at the chat because somebody else may say something.
Yeah, Australia's here.
Okay, Australia, what are they? If somebody pops up, raise your hand and I'll just have you read it. I think it's important for them to talk back to everyone here. All right, number two. Number two, God's presence dwells in a few. How many times have we heard many are, that where two or more are gathered in his name? He didn't say where you have at least 100 people. I'm going to be there. Two or more, that's all you need. The early church was small. They continued daily. This is Acts 2, 46, 47. They continued daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Did you hear that? Who added to the house? God. Not Joel Osteen. Not some seeker-friendly NAR Church, New Apostolic Reformation. God help us. You see, you start small, and then God adds to your group who he wants to add. Why? Because he knows demons will come in. You got so many people ask me, they go, where do you think the most demons are? Porno shops, you know, prostitution. No, church.
You don't need to be there.
That's where the demons are, in church. What? Yeah, if you don't think demons go to church, you're crazy. Especially the big ones. The bigger churches, the better, because they can get lost. They can mingle amongst the crowd. There's no accountability.
Right.
Nobody knows anybody. But now let me tell you something that's just as dark, just as deep, and just as rank as the Six Flags Over Jesus churches. I'm going to call these the small family churches that have been in existence for generation after generation. I can walk in, I can see the demons, I can smell the stench. They're basically just graveyards. And what is that? It's families that basically own the church. And when I say family, it doesn't have to be relative, though it could be. They own it, they control it. There ain't nothing you're going to do about it, baby. They hide under Baptist, they hide under Methodist, they hide under Episcopal, they hide under whatever, or non-denominational. But you ain't going to change anything. Get out. Get out. Somebody says to me, David, I'm here because I'm going to change this church. Ask a girl one time, I said, I'm in deliverance ministry. All right, well, tell me about it. Well, I date guys who have demons. And my job is to cast them out. I said, I can make a movie about you. It'd be a horror film, basically. Seriously, that's what, and she believed it. See, this kind of doctrine is what gets people in trouble. She seriously thought her job was to go out and find broken guys and fix them. Meanwhile, she had all these issues herself. What was my point? My point is, get out. You're not going to fix a church because it's not a church. It's a stronghold. Two kinds of strongholds. You're going to be held by demons or by the Holy Spirit. You can't be held by both. You serve one master. You eat at one table. So then you tell me, can a church have half demons and half Holy Spirit? Can a church? No. Because if you're really Holy Spirit driven, you're going to be so sensitive, you can't make it. You can't stay there. It's going to drive you crazy. Who was it that said to me, Dana, you went to a big church. I hope I can say this. You went to a big church, and you served, and you donated. You were a cornerstone in that church, a pillar. Until the day they said what?
Mega church.
Till the day they said, now we're a mega church, Dana says, that's the day I left. I'm not saying every mega church. Look, there's no way I can say every, I can't. I'm talking about the model. I'm talking about the blueprint. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand that I go to mega churches every once in a while because, someone invites me there for a reason and I struggle and I don't know whether I should go or not. But I've gone. I don't go much anymore, but I've gone. Last one was in Vegas. It's huge. See, the demons always hang out right there at the door, the greeters. This is where the demons are. Because I can spot them from a distance, and they won't look at me in the eye. They'll move, see. I see them, the Jezebels and all that. I just feel it, okay. So I said, well, who's preaching? Oh, no, this is why I wanted you to come. here today, this morning. This is why you need to be here. I said, okay, I'm here. They played an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Where he's touting that every child is equal, everyone is equal, God loves everybody, doesn't matter what you do, where you go, everybody's going to heaven, I'm paraphrasing. I said, yeah, fits right into your church, all right. Mr. Rogers. All right, Revelation 3:16. Lukewarm. You're neither hot nor you're cold. And because you're neither hot or cold, I vomit you out of my mouth. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'd rather be ice cold than to be lukewarm. Because if I'm ice cold, I have a chance of being hot one day. Yeah. The problem with lukewarm, you get into this lukewarm hell that you can never get out of. Amen. It's almost like an addiction. Yeah. Peg, your husband was a preacher, wasn't he? Did he preach like this? I mean, did your husband preach like this? He's gone to be with the Lord. Did he preach like this?
Yes, he did.
They called it hellfire and brimstone back when I was little. People make fun of me. They, hell, you're in hellfire. I said, yeah, I am. I said, you need to be careful because you might be walking through it. Mm-hmm. God uses small churches to shake the mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen, listen, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Now, this isn't about being foolish. Us as a small church, we're not foolish, but to them we're foolish. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when I say foolish, using the foolish, to them it's foolishness. It's foolishness to have a small congregation like this, because there's not many people, because you can't reach a lot of people, because they don't have a lot of money to donate, and you're in a small building. That's foolishness. Don't you understand? You can never build anything like that. You can never make a fortune like that. You can never touch lives like that. To them, that's foolishness. But then to them, Jesus has to be foolish because he chose 12 men. We got more than 12 here, don't we? But because we're small, we must be weak. Don't have much power. But he chooses the weak things to destroy the works of the mighty. You are not weak. You have the power of the living God in you. To the world, you're weak. You're not. To God, you're strong. To the world, you're foolish. You're not. To God, you have the wisdom. In the 1800s, there was a small town in Jeffersonville, Indiana. That's where we shot Last Evangelist, how I know the story. And in the 1800s, these settlers came. It was right on the river. And they built churches within four blocks. They built eight churches, just about. Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, thank you. I gotta forget Baptist. Yeah. Built all these mega churches, beautiful. You ought to see them. I look at these buildings, and I go, they got millions of dollars in these buildings. This was back in the 1800s. But then, There was a small group of settlers that came in the very same time, and they didn't have much money. They didn't even have a denomination. And they built a church. All they had was faith. They built what was to be known the Little White Church on the corner. It was plain. It was simple. And to make matters worse, they built their sanctuary on the upper floor. And people laughed at them. All these other denominations with money and power and clout laughed at the Little White Church, who had no money, very humble, built their sanctuary up on the second floor. They called it the upper room. They mocked them, called them poor, foolish, until the great flood of 1937 came. That great flood flooded every church in that town. Was underwater, except for the Little White Church, who built their sanctuary up on the second floor. And because they were the only place you could worship, all the other churches worshiped up on the second floor of the little foolish white church. Five years ago, Last Evangelist Ministries bought that church. I didn't know the story, but God said, you need that church. If you watched Last Evangelist, you could see we had a church. That was it. But let me tell you why I believe that I didn't buy it, but the ministry bought it. I'll tell you why. Because God has a plan for that church, and that plan has never, his hand has never been taken off that church. So that church has never had a name. It just has a plaque. What does it say? 1884, it says a Christian church. A Christian church. So the ministry bought it. I thought, this is crazy to buy this church. Old, needs renovation. We don't have a lot of money. Struggling. But after it was purchased, I got a knock on the door, the ministry did, and three men there, suit and ties, and told my staff, said, or the board members, said, for years we've been praying over this church. We've wanted to rent this church. We've wanted to buy it. We've never had the money. Would you all be interested in renting out this church for our Sunday morning congregation? Well, the board of the ministry said, well, yeah, because we don't really preach here on a Sunday morning. That's not the structure of our ministry. We did a Friday night service, right? But you see, the reason God told the ministry to buy the church is he knew there was someone out there praying that needed that church, that wasn't able to get it. Amen. The little white church with no name. They called foolish, has touched more lives, I'm going to guarantee you, in that town than any other church. That's what he does. There'll be many of you listening that feel like you don't make a difference, that you're just part of a small congregation. Or maybe you're just small. Maybe you don't. You're someplace and you're by yourself. And you say, David, what can I do? Little old me, I got all these problems. What possibly could I do? Well, I got some bad news for you. You can't do anything, but God can.
Amen. Right.
And God can do it with you if you will just get out of the way. If you will stop thinking that I'm not good enough, that I don't measure up to what that person does down the street or what this church is here or what this Christian says here. If you'll understand, he made you unique. He gave you an assignment. And with that assignment, he's given you a weapon that no one else has. No one else can use. You are the church. And he's bringing God's people, the little churches, together at this time, this place. He's calling in the sheaves. Remember that song? Bringing in the sheaves. You're hearing his voice. Maybe for the first time. Maybe there's someone out there listening to me that has never been here before. That's by design. It's by God's design. You're not here by accident. This is an anointed, appointed time for you. You have the power of God in you. I need to say this again because I need to hear it for myself, because I need to digest it. I go through the day. At the end of the day, I go, what did I do? What did I mean? Okay, but listen to this. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him, who God that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. You don't have the strength. You do. You've got the power of God in you to do what he's designed you to do. You say, David, I'm sick. But we're commanding a healing. God wants you to be well. This is not a test you're going through. God is not punishing you. You have the power in you to quicken your mortal body. The problem is we run to big pharma, doctors. Well, I got to go get my blood work done. Got to have my blood pressure checked. Only blood work I want done is to make sure my blood is cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
I go to the doctor and they're shocked. Your blood work looks great. What do? Well, I can tell them what I do. But I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus cleanses my blood. You want a transfusion? God will do it right now if you really want it. The only blood pressure I care about, I don't care about numbers. I want my heart to pump for God. And if my blood pressure is gauged upon my love, my faith for God, I want it to be 1,000 over 10,000. Because I don't care. You see, folks, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but you got to understand this. This big pharma thing, doctors, this is by design. All this by design to entrap people. To think you have to depend upon the world instead of depend upon the healing of God, you see. And that's what happened during the scamdemic. I don't want to go into that. All right, number 7, the remnant's America's hope. As we close, in these last days, because a lot of people want me to talk about it, I preach about it, they ask about it, there will be people come through that door. You'll see it if you don't dig the seed up. You plant the seed, don't dig it up. It's God's timing. There'll be people come into your life if you don't dig your seed up, but it won't be the people that you're expecting. It won't be the people from the churches. Might be. We pray there will be, Shannon. But it's going to be people down the street that you never would have thought would come to God. Never. That's impossible. But that's the gospel. But it is coming. in these last days as it gets near. Maybe God's placed you into a small congregation out there. Maybe, and he's placed you into this congregation. This is your church. It's my church. We encourage one another. You and I have to. We have to love one another. Stick up for one another. The religious world might look down on you, and they do. They do look down on you. They do. I'm not going to lie. I mingle amongst all the, you know, I have friends that have big churches. I don't get involved, but I listen. I know what their thoughts are, and I know what they say, and they do. But in these last days, as things ramp up, there's going to be a great divide. Decisions are going to have to be made. And you'll see families split. You'll see people making decisions that are eternal, but unfortunately, it's not going to be heaven-bound. But then you'll see those that will make decisions. Many are called, few are chosen. But will you be ready to welcome those in when they come in? What will you do? What will you say when they come in? Will you look at the guy who walks in, who's been dealing drugs down the street for 10 years, maybe even pimping out, but yet he walks in with tears in his eyes. He comes to this pulpit, kneels down, repents, asks for forgiveness to God. A man comes in, a woman comes in, she's homeless, doesn't smell good. You've seen her around town. She, heart's breaking as she kneels down. Will you be ready to minister to that person? Will you accept that person with the same open arms as you would someone who comes out of a church nicely dressed? We have a lot of people right now in our congregation online in David Heavener TV. I call them wounded warriors, from wounded to warrior. They have stories. You know that. You guys have been with me. Everyone has a story, ritually abused, human trafficked, program multiples. They have no place in the church because the church doesn't want them. They don't understand. They are shunned, but they have a home here. Why? Because I know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be that dope dealer walking through the door.
Amen.
I would be that homeless man walking through the door. In closing, I want to share this with you. I became a Christian at 7. That protected my spirit because God knew I was going to go in the songwriting and the filmmaking. He knew I'd be around the demonic forces. He knew that I didn't. My family was filled with alcoholics. I had it all around me. It's in my book if you want to get at the stories of my papa. I pulled away from the Lord during my teens. Why did I pull away from the Lord? Because my family pulled away from the Lord. My father stopped going to church. He went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but he stopped going. My mother stopped going. Why did they stop going? Because my father said, son, the church is changing. They put in a sound system. They busted out the back of it. They extended onto it. There's people I don't know in there. No one talks to anybody anymore. So my father left, my mother went with them, and I didn't go anymore. This is what's happening to people all over America. It happened in the 70s and the 80s, and now it's really ramped up. But what happened when I was 30 years old, walking down Venice Boulevard? I was in Hollywood making movies. And Venice Boulevard, for all of you all don't know, it is the pits of hell. Every demon you could imagine is on that beach. Except for one angel. I was walking that Sunday afternoon with two of my buddies. They weren't saved. But I was, but I had fallen away from the Lord. And I'm walking with them. There was a man over there with a big wooden cross, holding up a big wooden cross, a young man, saying, "Repent. Repent. God is calling you. Repent." And as I walked by, his words burned into my soul. And I'm walking, and my two friends are making fun of him and laughing. While his words were burning into me, I couldn't laugh. I stopped. They stopped. They looked at me. I turned, and I looked at that man with the cross, young man. And he looked at me as if I was the one he was waiting for. I didn't care. I didn't care that I was with two of my buddies. All I cared is I was broken and separated from the living God. I walked back to him and I looked at him. He said, "You're the one, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I am." I got on my knees right there, Venice Boulevard, in front of everybody. I didn't care. He laid his hands on me and he prayed, and I came back to Jesus. The prodigal son came back to Jesus. So you're out there listening to me this morning. You're saying, "David, I'm not where I need to be with God. I want to be. I was saved years ago, but I'm not where I need to be with God, and I want to be there." God's calling you right now. His arms are open. Prodigal son, prodigal daughter. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. If y'all would like to stand with me. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Everybody sing it with me. Come home. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Right now, right where you are, let's just praise the Lord. Let's give him the glory. Let's thank him for the fact that he's been here this morning as we sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, heir of salvation. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all day long. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. Is in my sin. As we sing this one last time, I want you to think of this. What right do we have to stand here this morning? What right do we have to have knowledge of the end times and a hunger for more of God? Any more than the next person? What did we do? It's because of the amazing grace God has given us. And as you sing Blessed Assurance, I want you to sing it in a way you've never sang it before. Thanking God, this is my story. But what is your story? What are you telling people? What are you telling each other? What are you telling the world? And what are you telling God? That I'm your child, Lord. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, no matter the cost. You're taking me out of my comfort zone, and I'm going, Lord. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, Lord of His Spirit. What is your story? What is it? Yeah, this is my story. This is my soul. Praise my Savior all the day long. If this is my story, this is my soul. This is my Savior. If y'all could just sing a cappella, Blessed Assurance, sing it with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. I'll be true, Lord. Praising my Savior all the day long. What is your story? What's your song? God's calling each and every one of us right now in Jesus' name. I love you guys. Thanks for being with me. God bless you so much. Go to davidhebner.tv. Sign up. Go with us underground. We got a special presentation tonight. God bless you.